Benzeremos o Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, we will study from the book of Acts, chapter 15, starting from verse 25. So if you have your Bible, from the book of Acts, chapter 15, starting from verse 25. The first half of the chapter, from verse 1 to 24, is about how there was a Pergamum, a female Pergamum, possessed with a spirit of divination. And of course, her family, not her family, but the family that owned the girl, because the girl was like a slave, a female Pergamum, this family made a lot of money from the cause of this girl who was possessed with a demon. And this demon claimed to know the future. That's why the demon was called spirit of divination. And actually, she was able to make a lot of money for this family. And Saint Paul was troubled by this spirit, because this girl followed them for a few days, and she was saying, these are the people of God, the Most High God. And although her witness about them was true, but her Paul refused to accept witness, even a true witness, from a demon. And this reminds me with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when the demons came out and started to say, you are the Son of God, and actually the Lord rebuked them. He refused to accept testimony from the devil. And unfortunately, some people today who claim to have the power to cast out demons, actually, they start a dialogue with the demons and try to get some testimony from them, which is against the teaching of the scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ himself refused to accept testimony from the devil, and here in Acts chapter 15, we see how St. Paul himself refused to accept a testimony from the devil. And after that, actually, he cast out the demon from his girl. And because of this, the family was very angry at St. Paul. And actually, the family stirred up the whole city against St. Paul. And ended up by putting St. Paul and his companion, Silas, in the prison. In the inner prison. That's actually the first half of the chapter from verse 1 to 24. What will happen in prison, that's what we'll study tonight. Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas were in prison, but their soul was free. They were in prison physically, but their soul enjoyed the freedom and the liberty of God. That's why they were praying and singing. Praying, maybe you can understand it as they are praying so God may deliver them from the prison. But when we read praying and singing, singing is a sign of joy. St. Paul himself, he said, if anyone among you is joyful, let him sing. Sorry, this was St. James. St. James said, if anyone among you is joyful, let him sing. So singing is a sign of joy. So we can understand that Paul and Silas, when they prayed, they were not praying for deliverance. Actually, they were thanking God and actually praising the Lord. And here, because they were praying from their heart, they were able to get the attention to the rest of the prisoner. As we read, and the prisoners were listening to them. And believe me, when we pray and when we sing from our hearts, people, the outsiders, actually, they will be moved by our prayer and by our singing and by our chanting. While sometimes our prayer and singing does not affect others because we pray them from our lips, not from our hearts. But when the prayer comes from the heart and the singing comes from the heart, it can move the heart of others. And here just I want to say an observation in most of our churches. When there is singing in the church, or when there is a choir presenting to us, many times we just listen. We don't participate. And when we participate, we don't participate in the spirit of prayer. And I hope this attitude should change. When we are in the church and we sing, all of us should participate. And when there is a choir presenting to us, if we don't know that the song, we should listen to them in the spirit of prayer. And we should participate with them in the spirit of prayer. I'm sure all of you were moved to mind when the Holy Church were chanting together in the spirit of prayer in the veneration for St. Mary. When all of us participate, it moves our hearts instead of one person just singing by himself. That's why when Paul and Silas were singing from their hearts, all the prisoners actually listened. And I assume that the prisoners also believed. Why am I assuming this? Because when the door of the prison was opened, not only Paul and Silas did not leave, but also all the prisoners did not leave. How there was an opportunity to escape and to run, and they did not leave. Because I'm sure they were moved by the spirit of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas singing in prison actually teaches us how to rejoice in the middle of hardship and tribulation. Many times our joy depends on the external circumstances. When the external circumstances are going well, we rejoice. But if the external circumstances are not going well, we feel disappointed, we feel sad. But here, Paul and Silas, actually, although they were in prison, they were praising God, and they were singing to Him. Because they learned how to praise the Lord and glorify the Lord in every condition, for every condition, and for every condition. And also, they were praying at the time. I'm sure St. Paul, as a former Jewish, he knew that David said 7 times a day, I praise the Holy Name. And also David said, in the middle of the night, I praise you. So St. Paul actually was keeping the hours of the day, the hours of prayer. And this actually is a reference for the midnight hour and midnight prayer, praising. That's why the church until now keeps the rite of the midnight hour and midnight praises, you know, from the, of course, the teaching of David the prophet himself and the application that we see it in the life of St. Paul and Silas, his companion. verse 26. Because they were praying with fervent spirit, what happened? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. The foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. This is the power of prayer. We read several times in the book of Acts when they were praying, actually the house was shaken from the power of their prayer. When we pray with our spirit, when we pray fervently, not only from our lips, but from our heart. I think these days we need to pray fervently, especially for our country, Egypt. And the Prophet talked about it today, asking all the Christians to pray for the peace of Egypt, to pray for the Christians and the Copts in Egypt, who actually are suffering tremendously because of all these attacks from the terrorists against the churches. Today only 17 churches were burned. 17 churches were burned. So actually, each one of us should lift his heart in prayer to God, that God actually can have mercy on our country. And heaven listens, God listens. He promised us, ask and you shall receive. And here we see how Paul and Silas and all the prisoners prayed. Actually, God was able, because He is almighty, to seek the foundation of the prison, and all the doors were opened and everyone had seen for you. But as I told you, yes, they were in prison, but they were free from inside. This prison is not keep. Maybe somebody would ask, God actually did this in order for them to run and to escape. But in reality, God did that to prove to the people that the prison cannot stop them from preaching the word. The prison cannot bind them, because from inside they are free. So whether I am in chains or I am not in chains, my spirit is free and I will fly to the Lord. That's why none of them left the prison. And then just a few minutes ago, not only Paul and Silas did not leave, but all the prisoners. I'm sure they were affected by the spirit of Paul and Silas. Maybe they believed and they followed the Lord of Paul and Silas. That's why when they saw Paul and Silas did not leave, none of the prisoners left the prison. But what happened? The keeper of the prison, when he saw that the doors were open, he was very, very afraid, because his life would be in the place of the prisoner. This was the Roman rule. So he would be disgraced. He would be punished severely because he ordered the prisoner had left. That's why he took the sword to kill himself before he presented him to a trial and kill him. So he decided to kill himself, assuming that all the prisoners left the prison. And that's what we read in verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoner had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. So he had peace that the doors are kept shut. That's why he went to sleep. But with the earthquake, he woke up. And when he woke up and he found the doors were open, he supposed that all the prisoners had fled. That's why he decided to kill himself. But Sadhul, although it was dark, so Sadhul didn't see the prisoner. So through the Spirit of God, he knew that the prisoner is about to kill himself. That's why St. Paul called him, verse 28, with a loud voice saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Don't harm yourself. We are all here. And St. Paul actually, through the Spirit of God, used this opportunity to preach to the prison keeper. Because I'm sure the prison keeper will be amazed how none of them lived or fled from the prison. And of course, because it was dark, verse 29, then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. When he saw everybody in prison, he couldn't sleep. So he said, these people are not just regular people. There is opportunity for them to run, but they did not run. Then actually, I'm sure he asked why these people still in prison. So the answer was, they are preaching new God, new religion. That's why they are in prison. Now, when he saw them praising God, and how they influenced the other prisoners, and none of them had fled, he said, these people are not regular people. They are heavenly people. They are actually worshiping the true God. That's why, trembling, he fell down before them, like worshiping them. He fell down before them. Of course, as pagan, he thought you are God. That's why he fell down and trembling before them. And he brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Definitely, he's not speaking about being saved from the passion, because none of them has fled. So he's speaking about eternal salvation, which means he learned that these people preaching new religion, speaking about God, different than the God that the pagan worship. So now, even the prison keeper starts to think about his eternal life. And he told them, "Tell me, what should I do in order to be saved?" God is our life. Many times deals with us and sends us many messages. But we don't ask this question like the prison keeper. Many times we don't ask this question, "What must I do to be saved?" We just live our life and we let the business of life take you by us. But let us learn today from the prison keeper how we need to stop and how we need to ask this question, "What must I do to be saved?" Actually, all of us know the answer to this question, but I think we need to apply. We need to do what we need to do in order to have eternal life and inheritance with all the things. So he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." If you compare the answer of St. Peter in Acts chapter 2, is different than the answer of St. Paul. St. Peter, when the people asked him, "What should we do in order to be saved?" He told them, "Repent and be baptized." But here St. Paul told them, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ أنه يسير you and your household. Why the answer is different? Actually, if we think about how a person should be saved, we think about six steps. The first step is to listen to the word of God. Second step, to believe in the word of God. Third step, to repent. Fourth step, to be baptized. Fifth step, actually, to take communion and partake of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last step is to do good works. These are the six steps. So Peter, in Acts chapter 2, was speaking to Jewish people who believe in God and who heard the word. That's why he skipped step number one and step number two. Hear the word and believe. And he started with step number three, which is repent and be baptized. But here St. Paul is speaking with a Gentile, not a person from Jewish background, with a person who is pagan, worships idols. That's why after hearing the teaching of St. Paul, so he learns the word, so he moves to step number two, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and will be saved, you and your household. And we will see how after he believes, St. Paul actually baptizes him. So what I'm trying to say, it's not one step, it's a series of steps. Because some other denomination take this verse and say, believe and you will be saved. But Peter said, repent and you will come and you will be saved. So there's actually no contradiction between this and that. But as I told you, it's a series of steps. It depends where are you in this series of steps. Are you step number one, two, three, four, five, etc. But the steps are, hear the word of God, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized and confirmed, of course. So repent, be baptized and confirmed, take communion, do good works. These are the steps. He told them, believe and you will be saved, you and your household. So usually, when the leader of the house believes, he asks, it is his responsibility to speak to other people, speak to his family, to his household, to preach to them. So St. Paul is assuming that he will do this role and all his household also will believe and will be saved. It is not the faith of the prison keeper, just not his faith only will save his household, but when he performs his role as the house priest or the house leader and preach his household, then actually he will influence them and lead them to salvation. That's why he told them, you and your household will be saved. Verse 52. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He told him, you need to believe, but faith comes through us, through hearing. Those Protestants and Paul and Silas started preaching, not only the prison keeper, but all who were in his house, preaching them about the good news of salvation, about the Lord Jesus Christ, God who became man, why he died on the cross to save us, and his resurrection and his ascension into the heaven. Verse 53, and he, the prison keeper, took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Because St. Paul and Silas were beaten, and their body was actually had a lot of blood. And nobody watched them, nobody took care of them. So now, because of this new relationship between the prison keeper and his Paul and Silas, he took them and washed their stripes. St. Paul, before asking to be washed or to be taken care of, he preached the word of God. He preached the word of God while His body has all this blood above him. And maybe this blood was witness also that they suffered and they endured for the name of Christ. And this helped, you know, the prison keeper and his household to believe. Because this blood of their body testifies that they suffered for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. So actually we see three steps here. Hearing the word and Paul preached them, believing, he told them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and baptism. And the word, he and all his family, I'm sure his family had children. So the children of the infants were baptized too. Nobody was excluded from baptism. Verse 54. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having pleased in God with all his household. So, all this happened during night. He took them to his house, he offered them food, and all of them were happy, rejoicing. And what is the source of their happiness? What is the source of their joy? Because they were released from prison? Actually, no, because he put them in prison. After he took them to his house and they ate and they were baptized, he took them and put them back in prison as we read from verse 55. But the source of joy here as we read, having believed in God. He rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Definitely. When we start walking in the steps of salvation, and when we have the peace of God inside of our heart, we will have the joy and peace which surpasses all understanding. And eating food together is a sign of love, the agape love, the agape love. So here he offers them, you know, food as an expression of his appreciation and gratefulness. And this new relationship between him and the prison keeper has sold this new love and happy love. Verse 55. And when it was day, the magistrate said to the officer, saying, let those men go. So it's clear that the prison keeper took Paul and Silas and put them again back in prison. So when daylight, when it was day, the magistrate sent the officer saying, let those men go. And I'm surprised. Why? Without trying, without asking them, without investigating them. They were arrested yesterday, put in prison. Second day they want to release them, even before any investigation. And I think the answer to this question is, the magistrate heard that Paul has Roman citizenship. And it was actually against the law to prison or to be a Roman citizen. So they want to release them secretly in order for the magistrate not to get into trouble. And St. Paul knew this. So he used this in order to honor the church of God. Now, verse 56, so the keeper of the prison reported these words before saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. So the keeper of the prison reported these words. And the keeper of the prison, he is still young in his faith. So he assumed that St. Paul would be happy when the magistrate just want to release him. But his surprise, St. Paul told him no. Verse 37. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly and condemned Romans and have thrown us into prison. And now, do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. So St. Paul here, he took a stand and he thought, no, we're not go like this. They have beaten us openly, they imprisoned us, so now they cannot just release us secretly. Let them come themselves and release us. Once and for all, did this. They were publicly beaten and even lived. So before everybody, they were beaten and even lived as wicked people, and as also in violation of the law. And this can hinder their ministry. How I can follow a person who is an evildoer for violating the law? That once and for all insisted that they should be as publicly condemned to be publicly honored. Not for his own honor, but for the sake of the church and community, in order to actually honor God. So the people will not think about Paul and Silas and about the Christians in the church as filthy and even doers or as a sect. That's why he said, let them come and get us out. Verse 58, and the officer told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. So the news are confirmed that we are Romans, so they became very afraid, because they could be punished or actually lose their job if they had beaten Roman citizens or imprisoned them. That's why they were afraid. And they wanted to silence Paul and Silas at whatever cost. That's why in verse 9, then they came